The Priestess and the Cauldron, a podcast featuring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, two out-of-the-broom-closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each show, Elvira and Phoenix will help you create rituals, make spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Phoenix, take it away.
Hello.
Hello there. Very subdued hellos.
What? Hello. It's been a very weird couple of weeks. It's been a very weird week.
I concur.
Yeah.
I concur. So, should I start my questioning like,
how was your week? Well, I'm thinking, so for folks who may listen regularly, we had a few shows that weren't live, and then we had a live show, and then we had a pre-recorded rerun, right? And now we're back live. So it's been a weird couple of weeks as far as those folks who do listen live, and there'll be a little bit more of that in the coming months just because we're going into the busy holiday season and things happen, and so hold on. It'll be a fun, wild ride.
Truly.
And then there is this week.
Yes, there is the dramatic pause.
Right. Today for those who are listening in the future, hey, future, today is Friday, November 11th, 2016, and earlier this week, the United States elected Donald Trump as our president. And so, you know, Elvira and I discussed perhaps we needed to talk about that, or perhaps we needed to talk about social justice, or perhaps we needed to spend some time talking about what witches do when the evil empire has control. And I think ultimately we've decided we're going to give it a moment like we would if with anything else that happened during the week. But we don't want to feed any more into that. And we're going to talk about pentacles tonight, and we're going to talk about magic tonight, and we're going to talk about witchcraft tonight and leave all of that other stuff where you can get your fill of it in other places.
Oh.
You want to add anything to that?
Well, yeah, I guess that the simplest thing is, yes, it's affected me, it's affected you, it's affected many of us.
Yeah.
But I came to, with the help of something that Danny F. Miss Phoenix and her husband, Guion, had written, was a blog that they do, which is Next Door. And then it reminded me of some things that I had gone through on my quest in my spiritual path, and it became evident that now is the time that that is what needs to be put into true practice,
mm-hmm.
and it's to be between,
yeah.
and not one or the other, and that's why magic is important, and that's why pentacles is important, and that's why what we talk about on our show is important,
yeah.
because that's what will bring the balance.
Yeah, yeah. So, and to give you all a little back information, I guess, my partner and I write a blog for patheos.com, and it's called The Witches Next Door. And we don't, it's not like we're posting a blog every day or every other day, but we regularly post and talk about what it's like to just be out of the broom closet, witches living regular lives with families and mortgages and, you know, regular stuff, the less glamorous side of it. And it felt important for us to address the election and, you know, ultimately what came through for me, because I was super disappointed. I am super disappointed, and there are lots of reasons for that I won't go into tonight, because that's not the point of our show tonight. But ultimately, we do magic. Witches do magic. Witches have been doing magic to change the way the world is working. And I have to have faith and I have to have trust that when you do magic, you don't always know how that spell is going to turn out. You have an end goal, but the route to get to that end goal could look very different than what you thought. So right now I'm putting in my faith that the end goal that we witches and we world changers have been working on is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't look like what I expected.
No, not quite yet. And I think for what that touched in me was the understanding of old things die to bring new life to begin.
Right.
And that's how I view it. That doesn't mean that while things are dissolving and dying, you don't get upset and have problems with that process.
Yeah. Yeah, change is hard. And, you know, my partner actually quotes this line from Equus, which is this play. I won't go into that. But basically the quote is, if you're going to take away a person's God, you have to be ready to replace it. And that's also true for structures like capitalism and our democracy and our government. There's a lot of folks in paganism, especially, I think, that are not happy with the status quo of our world, that are not happy with the status quo of our government. There's a lot of revolutionaries in paganism in general. There's a lot of anarchists, especially, you know, my home tradition is reclaiming. We are an anarchist tradition. So there's a lot of people who have been working to dismantle these structures. That's hard. It's the fucking tower card, pardon my language. Mm-hmm. The tower card is not like, okay, it's all done now, yay, and we'll move on. No, it's hard, and things fall apart, and people get crushed in the rubble.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, not to be a doomsayer, but revolution is hard work, and we're moving towards it.
That's it. And I think for both of us, this is a challenge because we both have very deep feelings about the circumstances, and we both have places where we can talk about it, but we would rather take the time to talk about things that will bring you as the audience, the listeners, the people who are following us, something more and deeper than the stuff that you're getting on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, we decided we could definitely spend a whole hour talking about this situation and social justice magic, and that is something we'll do down the road. But we had planned to do the show tonight on pentacles and working with pentacles, and we're going to continue to do that.
And with that, let us go to pentacles.
Hooray!
Very earthy subject. Ha ha.
Yes. Absolutely. And, you know, it's perfect because what do I need right now? I need some grounding.
Uh-huh.
So the pentacle is the perfect place to bring that energetic in tonight.
Right.
Yeah.
So in terms of pentacles, we have several things to talk about, and I guess we'll start with what it is and what it looks like.
Right. Right. And we've worked through So there's the four major elements, the four major tools connected to those elements, right? We talked about wands, we talked about athames, we talked about the chalice, and now we're on the last of the four majors, which is the pentacle.
Uh-huh.
And for me, the pentacle is kind of the weirdest one, right? Wands are kind of weird too, but there is really no like mainstream everyday thing with a pentacle. You know, it doesn't have a regular everyday purpose.
No, it just is.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And I think it's because it's a symbol.
Yeah.
As opposed to a active tool. So it's the passive feminine symbol or elemental tool. And yet, interesting enough is that I was looking at it and I was going, you know, I understand how to draw it and, you know, what we're going to talk about later and all of that, but it's a shield.
Yes.
So that is passive in terms of the spiritual warrior's
tool. Or a seal.
Or a seal.
Yes.
So you can seal something.
Yes.
Or you can put it as a protection.
Right.
And on that, we can really jump off because this is the part that most people think less of the pentacle because it just, it's there.
Sits there.
I know.
My God, it doesn't even do anything cool.
No. Can't wave it around or do anything.
No.
You know? Can't even drink out of it. So, but it does have its background in the Pythagorean Pythagorean, the Pythagorean system.
Right, right. Which is, we're talking about a system from, you know, 500 to 600 BC. Like this is old. The symbol, old and mathematical and super smart in ways that I am not.
Well, it took me a little bit to even figure out what they were talking about when they started talking about arcs and things like that.
Yeah.
So in reality, that we will leave to someone who can, you know, we can mention a few things about it, but there is a whole part of this process that you can delve into to understand that mathematical process.
Right. Right, and why this specific symbol has mathematical power, right? Math is a really interesting form of magic.
Mm-hmm.
There's all sorts of cool things within the mathematical world that are magical, and this is one of them.
Right.
Right, and it's totally over my head. I am not gifted with the maths.
Math was never my strong suit to begin with, and then I went to geometry thinking that was going to be better, and that was worse.
Yeah.
But I found that when I can look at the Platonic solids, and those are the three-dimensional aspects of what these two-dimensional figures are, I could get a better understanding because I could see it in a holistic point of reference rather than all the other
stuff. On the page. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, again, I understand your point of reference.
Yeah.
So.
And beyond the Pythagoras, that word is so hard. Greek.
Pythagoras.
The Greek stuff is so hard. Earlier than that, in Mesopotamia, as old as 3000s BC, in Mesopotamia, there have been fragments of pottery found with some of the earliest findings of written language ever. Also in art and other things that have been uncovered from an archaeological standpoint in Mesopotamia, there is all sorts of pentagrams inscribed into these things, and it's believed that this was a symbol of power. It was a belief that the pentagram would stretch out to the four corners of the planet and imbue that thing, that piece of clay, with the power of the four corners of the planet. Even though it's a five-pointed star, one of those points represented here, here and now and this moment, and then the arms and legs, so to speak, would reach out, right?
Right.
It's an old symbol, and it's definitely been a source of power for different cultures across the world beyond written record.
Right. And they really don't know how old it is.
No.
So we can say that this, you know, has, in our opinion, no known beginning.
Right.
So that would be, but through our modern and ancient times, we have gotten pieces of information, and of course, we can discuss the fact that in ancient times, it meant life or health, and of course, it is associated with the apple and the core,
right?
You know, and when you cut it, you see the 5-point,
right? And I want to talk. I want to expand on that for a minute.
Go for it.
Okay, because I have been a pagan for a long time, and I always heard this. Oh, if you cut an apple in half, you can see the seeds form a pentacle. Do you know how many times I cut an apple in half? The way you normally cut an apple, right? From putting the knife through the stem and into the bottom, right? That's not cutting the apple in half. Cutting the apple in half is if the apple was sitting on your table, you cut it at the waist.
Yep.
Right? For years, I was like, how come I can't ever see the star in the middle of the apple? What, is it just me? Are people lying to me? No. No, it was just that one little bit of information I was missing. You cut the apple at the waist.
Right.
Cutting it in half. And that, then you'll see the seeds making the star.
See, and you may have just saved a lot of people from doing the same thing for figuring it wasn't there.
I don't mind pointing out when I'm doing something stupid, and any time I can help someone else avoid embarrassment, I will do it.
Well, it definitely...
the apple is not the only thing. There's all kinds of cool shit out there that's star-shaped, like starfish, right? There are flowers that have 5 petals and are shaped very pentacle-shaped. Mm-hmm. There are specific plants and other things found in nature that have that sort of, you know, it's not exactly shaped like a human hand, but it is shaped like a human body, which
right.
I want to come back to a little
bit. Oh, we'll come back to that
later.
One.
But,
mm-hmm.
you know, our body is a pentacle. And so this shape is not only this mathematic wonder, but it's everywhere in nature mm-hmm. in very interesting and unusual things. Anytime you find a flower or a plant or a starfish, they're kind of weird.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something really cool about it.
I know, because I was actually going to go out and run out because we're having such weird weather. My flowers are blooming again. I was going to grab a rose because one of the things is the rose, the five-pointed petals.
Yeah.
So, and again, we come back to the concept that, yes, it's 5 points,
right.
which are the four elements and spirit.
Right.
And we are, if I'm not mistaken, it's called the cosmic man.
Yes, exactly. And I find this fascinating, and I haven't taken a lot of time to explore the origins of this,
mm-hmm.
so I don't know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
But why isn't the pentacle connected to center, right? If the pentacle is a representation of all the elements,
right,
and the element and the center is spirit, ether, whatever, mm-hmm. the unknown, wouldn't it, for some reason, it makes me think, well, the pentacle should be for that because it's all of those elements coming together.
Right.
You know, one of those weird things my mind likes to argue with itself about.
Well, it does leave, you know, what they do talk about is the four elements of material world are then linked or overseen by the power of the mind, because in Pythagoras, remember, the Pythagorean people were about the mind.
Right.
So I think they were, there's the word think, I believe they were using it in a very thoughtful, mind-based process.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Rather than a feel-based
right.
process.
Right. Well, science is magic, too.
That's true. It's coming from a different side.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And we can even go to, we know the cosmic man from Leonardo da Vinci. He has made it famous in his own right. Of course, it was before, but not in the bigger picture.
Right.
So, but I keep wanting to go. I'm still that feminist. It should be the cosmic feminist rather than just a guy hanging out, sitting there with his genitals and everything hanging out there going, I'm
the man.
I'm the man. Well, it's I'm the woman, you know? So I think that would be my take on how to shift it a bit.
Yeah. Well, and perhaps we should get really, really rudimentary here, right? So the pentacle is a five-pointed star.
Uh-huh.
With a circle around it.
Right.
The pentagram is a five-pointed star. And that's it.
That's it.
So often you'll hear people say pentacle, pentagram, and they use them rather interchangeably. But officially, technically,
uh-huh.
the pentacle is a star with 5 points and a circle around it.
Uh-huh.
And the pentagram is just the star without the circle.
Without the circle.
And their symbolism is the same. Sort of, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the
mm-hmm.
pentagram represents all of those things we've been talking about, and the elements and the 5 points and all of these things coming together. And the pentacle for me, with that circle around it, is sort of the holding it together. It's the completion.
Exactly. Yeah. It is the container.
Yes, container. Perfect.
There you go.
Yeah.
We actually do well together here.
Yeah.
One mind.
Right.
And it's interesting because we were talking, and this is something that I think I'll touch on so we can look at it later.
Sure.
Is the idea of what this circle or pentacle is in a more magical sense.
Yeah.
And what we can use it for.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that we will mention it now. Yes, in the tarot, there's a whole suit called the pentacles, which is part of the process of earth.
Yes.
So that, too, is part of the elements of the four elements put into a more divinatory basis.
Right.
So, but what else can we infuse upon this? We can use it as a talisman.
Right.
Okay. And invoking and banishing.
Right.
You want to try. I was thinking, how are we going to explain how you make an invoking and banishing on a radio show?
Sure. Well, it is easier when you have a visual or a thing to look at. But, you know, what I would say is the point of the invoking and banishing pentagram is to create a seal and then release that seal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So often when people create sacred space, the first thing they do is make a container. And we talk about this process in one of our previous shows on rituals,
mm-hmm.
right? But you go to that corner or that element or that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And to make the seal of that direction, you draw the invoking pentagram. That's inviting the element in and making a seal so that nothing else comes in, right? So if you were to hold your fingers out like a wand and you start at the top of the star and you draw downwards going towards the left and to the bottom foot of the star, then you draw up and across to the right hand of the star, then across to the left hand, then down to the right foot, and back up to the head. And then to complete it, you would draw a circle going clockwise, right? So that's, hopefully that makes sense. That's invoked.
That worked. I visualize because I'm sitting across from her.
Right.
I'm cheating.
I'm holding my hand up literally and drawing it as I go because I can't. That's the only way I can remember it.
Really?
Now, the banishing I have a harder time with
mm-hmm.
because in my head, this is not legit Wicca, I just do it backwards. So I go down to the foot and I release it that way. I just do it backwards. But that's not legitimate Wicca. Wicca has very, like, you're supposed to start down at the right foot and then draw it that way. But that,
mm-hmm.
I can't describe it to you because I literally can't do it that way.
Right, right.
But that's the more traditional way to do it,
the more hermetic. And it's interesting because when I was doing some research on banishing, it was the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a specific way, and I just reverse it.
Yeah.
You know, that made perfect sense to me because you call the directions in a clockwise manner, and
right.
you release them in a counterclockwise manner.
Right.
So it just made sense to me, and I was like going, but then I started reading and getting really confused, and I was trying to literally find the way to draw it, and I figure they've got plenty of diagrams. We can send you to any number of, you know, websites to show you or books that are there because it really has a specific reason why they do it, and I understand it, but this is where the difference between a living, breathing practice is versus one that you want to stay in a very structured way.
And there's reasons, right? There's the lesser banishing ritual and the greater banishing ritual, and there's all of these things with how you draw the pentacle and what you do and how, blah, 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 and all of these things are very specific for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking to do more pentacle work or you're looking to really dig into the meat of it, it's not something that you can listen to. It's something you need to see and try,
mm-hmm.
you know, and different covens and different traditions have different ways of doing it. So it's also, you know, are you a Gardnerian? Are you eclectic? Are you an Alexandrian? Druid? It's all going to be different. So there isn't one pure way.
No. I mean, that's to say, we say there's not one pure way.
And we're right.
And we are right. Yes. Well, under those circumstaces, I definitely think that, yes, we see it because we know what makes it for us.
Right.
Because in actuality, they talk about, you know, going literally over the body and drawing it over the body. So they start at one shoulder and go to the other shoulder and then go down to the hip. And then, you know, and I'm like, okay, I got that. But I still don't quite get when you reverse it, when you let it go.
Well, and there's the fivefold kiss that happens in many. It's a Gardnerian thing, but it happens in lots of other Wicca traditions as well. But the fivefold kiss is to honor the person in the ritual, to bring them into sacred space, and you kiss the feet, the knees, the womb, and that a womb is for any gender,
mm-hmm.
the breasts, and the lips.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not exactly a pentacle of the body.
No.
It doesn't exactly fit, but it's in that fivefold system.
Right.
You know, and,
right.
and so looking at what else is a fivefold system,
mm-hmm.
you know, are the senses, there's other things that I wrote down that I've lost now, but blah, blah, blah.
You have, and interesting is that for me, your hand.
Yes, thank you. That was one of the things.
That was one of the things. Your hand is basically, you know, a pentacle, or a pentagram, if you really want it to fold it that way because of the way we have our hands set up. So five is a five.
Right. Right.
That
and our limbs, if you count your head as a limb, right?
Fingers I never thought about my head as a limb, but.
I know. It's a very smart limb.
It is.
And what I also find interesting, talking about the series of fives and the numerology around it, is five is actually a really tricky number from a numerological standpoint and from the tarot standpoint. You know, fives are always cards of conflict and things that you have to deal with.
Right.
And some trouble on the horizon. So to have this very magical symbol and this magical tool be a number associated with change or conflict or movement is also very interesting, because we're talking about an earth symbol and something that's stable and solid, but that's not necessarily true. Even stability and things that are solid is having shift and change happening within it.
Right, and if you look with the way that you look at it, it is, it's one of the titles, it's called the endless knot.
Right.
So it moves, the energy moves, it's consistently moving, and if we're looking at the goddess and the dynamic of the representation of the, you know, the earth, the feminine, is that she is always changing, and there's always conflict within that change.
Right.
No matter what.
Right. Yeah.
So it does hold the symbology in so many different ways.
Yeah.
And I know that in terms of some of the different titles, they've gone with the Solomon Seal, the Star of Bethlehem, the Wizard Star. I thought that was interesting. Other than, you know, the Pentalis and the Pentagram and, you know, things like that. And I was going, wow, these are all these names for something I just knew as the Pentacle.
Right. Right.
You know?
Well, and the star, the five-pointed star, also had quite a connection to the Gnosticism of Judaism, and early Christianity used the star in a lot of symbolism. Some folks believe the five wounds of Christ connect to the pentacle, or that fivefold energy. You know, again, it doesn't exactly take a star shape. If you're, I'm assuming we're counting him getting speared, right?
Yes.
Isn't that one of his wounds?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't mean to sound flippant. I just honestly don't know.
I didn't study that part.
But it doesn't exactly make a star shape, but again, it's that five-point energy.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
And interesting, pointing to stars, I will digress a tad to more mundane point of reference, is that the star is on a lot of different flags and a lot of different things, that five-point star. And I found it very interesting in all that has been going on. We have 50 stars on our flag for the United States of America.
Right.
And they are the feminine principle, and they are in the upper left quadrant. So it is basically the feminine energy holding sway.
Yeah.
Which made me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah, you got to remember those little things.
Little bitty things. Yeah. But it was very poignant, because we're talking about a five-point.
Yeah.
Star, pentagram, pentacle.
In the chat here, Neon Windwalker points out, in high magic, the pentacle is used to invoke spirit, which is also referred to as Akasha. And the four archangels are connected to the different elements. So Raphael is the east and air, Gabriel is the west and water, Michael is the south and fire, and Uriel is the north and earth. So there is another point of the pentacle and the five-fold system and the elements and all of those things folding together. You know, that's another tradition. You know, high magic or ceremonial magic is a very specific way of working with these things, and they have very specific systems.
Yes, they
and
do.
It's there for a reason, because they do some tricksy stuff, those ceremonial magicians.
Yeah, when you get into, you know, the Golden Dawn and Hermetic traditions and that process, they have, you don't just draw it. You have a specific way of drawing it. You have a specific set of calls that you make as you draw it, along with the archangels, and a specific set of diagrams that you actually will write down.
Right, right.
And the actual pentacle has a specific set of symbols on the main one they use on their altar, which obviously we can't draw it because you can't see it. But, again, there are lots of places you can find it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this, you know, there's, we're talking about more of an eclectic witchcraft or pagan process here. So, you know, you'll find traditionally that you need to have a pentacle on your altar, right? So what does that mean? Well, for me, I made one out of phyllo clay, and it's actually my daughter made it for me as a present, and that's my pentacle. It's nothing fancy. It's probably pretty small by traditional standards, but I've seen some beautiful ones made of silver and different metals. I've seen them carved out of wood. I've seen them, some pretty big ones made out of clay, almost plate-like.
And that, again, the plate within the sacred objects, it was the element of earth.
Right.
So that is another tradition that uses a plate, a disc, that has meaning towards it. And we, you know, it was interesting. Again, like the chalice, there are certain, with the Christian church, there are certain ways that you make the goblet. There is certain size, everything. But here you have, you know, a general. There aren't, you know, it could be 5 to 6 inches, with the diameter, of course, having a certain space around it that's smaller that you add, you know, certain carvings. It can be of wood. It can be a metal. It, you know, originally back, way back, it was made of wax during the persecution time.
Right.
So that you would use it and then you could destroy it.
Right.
Because you didn't want to get caught, because that was the one thing that took you down.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think that for us, I mean, I have the picture that will get posted that I have one of clay.
Right.
I also have a couple of others that I have in my traveling altar kit. That's a little metal one. So, I mean, there's different versions for different places.
Right. Right. And in Arthurian legend, right, there is the sword of Excalibur, and there was a spear, and there was the chalice, which the sword and the chalice are the most famous, right?
Right.
It became the Holy Grail. But there was also a platter, a dish.
Yes.
And so those, the for some reason, the chalice and the sword have kind of survived the centuries of, of mythology and belief, but there were magical implements for each element.
Right.
The dish or the plate was one of them. Yeah.
That, and again, we look at what do we serve on our food on our, you know, for the most part, are plates.
Right.
So in a strange way, we, you know, the everyday experience, even though it is not symbolized with anything, is still part of what we do on a regular basis.
But so my question, I'd love to hear some of your ideas and thoughts about this. What do you do with your pentacle that's on your altar? Does it just sit there and look pretty?
Oh, sometimes. Actually, what, don't you love an answer? It's not an answer. I actually have it on my private altar. I have the pentacle in the center, and I will put things on it to clear it or to charge it. Pieces of jewelry that I get when I need to, you know, I feel I need to clear them or when I buy them. I will, obviously, in ceremony, I will use it to put the chalice on. And I will do the ceremony with the, you know, the athame and the and clearing and banishing and then the incense and, you know, the various aspects of that. I have a tendency to keep it in the center rather than on the, you know, on the earth element side of where you would in your altar. I, for some reason, feel that that is the most logical for me. But then if I look at the Strega tradition, that is what the place they put it in their altar.
Yeah.
Is in the center. I didn't know that until I, you know, kind of started studying Strega, but to me it felt like it belonged in the center.
Yeah. One of my practices was to, I don't do this anymore, I probably need to get back into this, but when I was working at my altar, to actually put my hand on the pentacle as a way of helping me ground before doing any other work, you know, sort of having that be a touchstone.
Right.
Right? But absolutely the same thing, using it as a almost a dish to put items that need either a cleanse or a charge or a shift of energy. And also putting the food that I'm going to be using for cakes and ale or whatever at the end of the ritual.
Right.
Putting that on the pentacle as sort of an earth blessing for any food is eaten. And,
right.
And I don't think this is traditional by any stretch of the imagination, but I also like to leave an offering on the pentacle. So I, you know, I take a piece of the bread or the cake
right.
or whatever and put it on the pentacle.
Right.
And then I take my one, I give some to my gods, and,
yes.
and then I eat myself. But I don't think that's, I don't think that a lot of other covens are doing it that way.
Well, you know, but again, this is about your practice
right.
and your practice of what you feel closest to the divine in its truest sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is so much in this. It just seems like, yes, it just sits there. But every time I look at that, I feel a sense of peace.
Yeah.
And I think that to me is really important when everything else around the world is happening, but it's also spirit. It's when you're doing your work. You need a centeredness, a peace for all the activity that you work with.
Right.
In a ritual.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but anything else that we can throw out? I think the original pentacles were basically flat rocks.
Oh, yeah.
Just something simple, flat, and then they began to get a little bit more capable of, you know, like carving something on
right.
it or painting something on it. But I would tell you that it's, again, we will talk more about that in the next
right.
half. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but, oh, and also this is the element of the gnomes, the little
yeah.
earth dudes.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. Radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned as more magic is coming your way right after these messages.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rear Power with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Candela's Corner with Candelo Cambisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7, Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LeFay, Fridays 6 to 7, and Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7, all time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Well, that was a quick interlude.
Thank you, Nagashiva.
Definitely. So, let's
more pentacle-y goodness.
Ooh, gosh, that, you know,
yeah,
sounds exciting.
Yeah, I was looking down at my notes here, and I realized we talked about drawing the pentacle or the pentagram,
uh-huh.
but we didn't talk about how, right? So I mentioned when I was doing it, I was holding up two fingers.
Right.
Right, so that's one way you can, we have the tangible pentacle that's on your altar. It's a thing. It's made of things. It's earth-based. It's a legitimate, tangible
uh-huh.
thing.
Uh-huh.
Then we're talking about this more spiritual concept of the pentacle,
uh-huh.
this seal, this shield, this thing that we draw with our energy.
Right.
Right? So when we draw and we cast a circle, we create those shields or those seals in each of the four corners. We're directing our energy, and what I want to say, and we haven't talked about this before. This might actually be something a whole show we want to talk about. But
uh-huh.
when we create a sacred circle, when we're casting our circle, you're not actually directing your own personal energy, because you'll get depleted real damn fast.
Right.
We ground and center ourselves, and we become a conduit, a channel, so that the earth energy and the sky energy flow through us, and we use that energetic to create our sacred circle, right?
Right.
So when you're directing energy, ideally you're directing that energy and not your human energy,
uh-huh.
which is easily depleted.
Right.
Right. And you can use your fingers. You always have a tool with you, always. You can use your athame. You can use your wand. You could use a stone.
Uh-huh.
You could use a crystal. I mean, I've seen it done with a piece of lavender or a feather.
Uh-huh.
I've seen circles cast with all different types of things that you might not even think of to cast a
uh-huh.
circle. But it's really about creating that sacred space, directing that energy, and then drawing and creating that seal with that energy.
All right.
Right.
And if I may add, we do the four directions, and we do above, and we do below.
Yes.
So in actuality, we do six pentagrams.
That's true.
So just because we think of the four directions as the ultimate of what we do, but there is also that other part, because what you're doing is you're creating a total spherical seal.
Yes.
Space.
Yes.
Yeah. So with that in mind, this is a sign of the craft. It is basically an emblem for many millennia. This was a way others knew who you were.
Right.
And you either wore it openly, as we do now, or you wore it
in our area of the world.
Well, I go to the South, and I still wear it openly. Of course, there is a difference. I don't run around in too many churches and things. But it was part of, you know, just like the seals of the secret societies.
Mm-hmm.
It became, when it had to underground, it became a way of distinguishing who you were,
right,
to one another.
Absolutely.
So at this point, I don't think we need to go to that extreme. But, you know, as general as it may be, we also have the hexagram, which is the five points, but changed into a different way. It was interesting. We don't have to talk about that too much, but it is a piece of information
mm-hmm.
that is also considered a sacred seal of the five points.
Right.
But it's just done slightly differently.
Right.
Which fascinated me, Chris. You know, you get me into things like that, and I lose my original focus.
Right.
But that also is where we can start with what is the use as a shield, and what is used as a gateway, portal.
Yeah.
So go for it. What do you think? How would you use it as a portal?
Well, sort of what we were describing earlier, right, with creating sacred spaces, you know, drawing that pentacle and inviting that specific thing through it,
mm-hmm.
right? So
mm-hmm.
I'm inviting in, I'm calling to the watchtowers of the West. I'm inviting in those energies through this portal,
uh-huh.
right?
Uh-huh.
Using that in real life, in this form, right? Also, doing astral travel and going on shamanic journey and things like that, you can use it, you can draw it in your journeys and use it as a portal to get you places.
Uh-huh.
So if you want to go on a journey and you would like to go and visit Glastonbury, you can create a portal with a pentacle that you name as the portal to Glastonbury. And for me, I always imagine it like a manhole cover,
mm-hmm.
right? I open the manhole cover and out I pop on the tour. Hooray! If only it was that easy.
Yes, truly, truly.
Yeah.
So it becomes an energy conduit for a way to make an energy conduit and to go travel through it or bring something that you're requesting through.
Right. Sometimes I think of it, especially with creating sacred space, it's a filter
mm-hmm.
and a seal,
mm-hmm.
right? So you allow the one energy you're inviting through, which
mm-hmm.
happens to most often be that element, and then the door is shut. And it becomes a seal then, and nothing else can come through. It becomes a shield, you know? And shield and seal for me are two different concepts,
yes,
right?
Yes, they are.
The seal is keeping that thing at bay and keeping this thing in here.
Right.
Where a shield is more of a defensive thing where you're holding it up to
mm-hmm.
prevent the onslaught from
mm-hmm.
coming towards you.
Mm-hmm.
I keep imagining the Prince of Pentacles.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
He's got the shield.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He's a little defensive.
Yeah.
He's got his shield up.
He's got a protection there.
Yeah.
Because at this point, I think that and you utilize it according to your energies that you are choosing to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, whatever your spirit work is that you're going to do, even if you're going to go out into the world, you know, a lot of times I will utilize the pentacle as a means to travel safely through my day.
Right.
So sometimes I do a globe or sometimes I do a shield, but whatever it is, it's because of the energies I know I will encounter and need to stay, you know, in a certain place.
Right.
So, it, you know, there's a boundary put.
Yeah.
So, but,
yeah. The other thing I'd love to touch on a little bit is the, you know, our body is a pentacle.
Ah, yes.
Our body is a pentacle. So for me, and especially in the reclaiming tradition, and this you also find this in the fairy tradition, the F-E-R-I, the Anderson fairy tradition, is using your body to run energy.
Mm-hmm.
Like you, when you're drawing a pentacle or a pentagram in your sacred space, you are creating a specific kind of energy.
Mm-hmm.
You are running that energy through that shape.
Mm-hmm.
But because our body is also that shape, we can run that energy through our body. So one of the tools of the fairy tradition and in reclaiming is the iron pentacle.
Mm-hmm.
Because iron is the center of our planet. Iron is in our earth. Iron is in our bodies. Iron is in our blood.
Mm-hmm.
We are made of iron. And there is a lot of inner landscape work that can be done with the iron pentacle. And in the iron pentacle, each of the points of the pentacle is named for a specific energetic. And all of the words, and I'll say them in just a moment, but all of the words are triggering.
Oh, goody.
Right? So the way, and this has been written about extensively, this is, I'm not divulging any secrets here. There are lots of books, Starhawk's written about it, T. Thorne Coyle's written about it. But there are there's also workshops about the iron pentacle. Like, this is not some hidden secret.
Mm-hmm.
But it is powerful work, and I really recommend people learn how to run energy through the pentacle of their body.
Mm-hmm.
But an iron pentacle, you draw up the iron of the earth. You draw that up into your body, and you allow it to gather, and it starts in the top of your head, the topmost point of the pentacle, and that point is named for sex.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we are talking about sex, like having intercourse, but we're also talking about sex, like the cosmic energy that is out there, the creative life force that is out there.
Mm-hmm.
The word is triggering, the action is triggering, and no doubt people have all kinds of feelings from one end to the other about what that word means.
Right.
So when you start to work with the iron pentacle and you run it through these points, starting with sex, it gives you an idea about where your own shadows are,
mm-hmm.
where you may need to do a little healing, where you may need to do a little work. So it's a really good tool for inner landscape stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you go from sex, and that moves down your body into your right foot, into the point of pride.
Mm-hmm.
Pride's another triggering word for us. You know, it's good to be prideful. It's good to be proud of your work.
Mm-hmm.
But it also can easily spill into being egotistical.
Right.
Right? So how do you hold that in balance? And then that flows up our bodies into our left hand, sex, pride, into self.
Mm-hmm.
Self, that's tricky. How well do you know yourself? Are you always living your trueness? Are you always being honest? Are you are you standing in your true selfhood? And then self flows through to your other hand, sex, pride, self, power.
Mm-hmm.
Power is tricky.
As we know.
We all want power.
Yeah.
All want to be sovereign beings. And power can easily get out of control. It
right.
can easily become something ugly instead of something really wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And then power flows down into the left foot, and that's passion.
Mm-hmm.
What are you passionate about? Are you feeding your passions? Are your passions fair and even and being taken care of?
Right.
And then that flows back up to sex.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's this work that I just took 2 seconds to explain. In an introductory class of the Iron Pentacle, you spend 6 weeks, and each night you work on one of those points, and you
right.
run this energy through your body over and over and over again, and you really start to get a better idea of yourself and your triggers and where you need to do a little bit of healing. It's
mm-hmm.
a really powerful tool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I highly recommend folks at least look it up and see what you think.
Right.
But beyond that, I recommend coming up with the 5 points for yourself, like, what are the 5 virtues in your life that feel most important? Like for me, beauty, integrity, magic, I won't name all of them because it's very personal, but those, like integrity is important.
Right.
So I have a personal shield. I have a personal pentacle, and I run that through my body, and it goes through integrity
mm-hmm.
and magic and beauty
mm-hmm.
and these things, these 5 virtues
mm-hmm.
that are impactful for me. But it's not just this symbol. It's something I work with in my body.
Right.
Because my body is the symbol.
Right.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is very important. important because, again, the pentacle is earth, is you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so an athame is, you know, any number of things that we can have as a physical tool, and, you know, the element of air or fire, however we've chosen to view it, and the wand and the will and the, you know, the back and forth and the emotion, the container that we carry our water in us and we carry our emotions in us. But this is what we move in.
Mm-hmm.
So moving that energy, it's an excellent work to do. It's an excellent way to take that and make it personal rather than just something outside of us.
Right. And stagnation is unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Stagnation is unhealthy. You don't drink water that has been stagnant. If energy gets stuck in your body, it can cause all kinds of literal disease.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And being able to run energy through your body and learn how to work with your body on an energetic level, it goes beyond just this tool that sits on your altar. It,
right.
You know, just like you're saying, you are the tool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because we, in whatever format, in whatever tradition, in whatever belief system or culture, it's all that whole process of movement, whether you do it as a yoga, you do it as, you know, a particular meditation, it's all about running the energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the Hawaiian tradition, it's there's certain things that you do. Not only is the hula actually a spiritual basis. It isn't for people. There's the external one that everybody thinks is cute and pretty and all that stuff. But then there's another version that you work with. It's the navigational kahuna work that I did.
Yeah.
It's about moving your energy, because if you don't move your energy, then, yes, you stagnate, you get sick in mind, body, and spirit, and then you have illness. And as much as I want to not go back to anything, we have to move the energy here.
Yes.
In the world, in the United States, in everything around us, because it's stagnant, and that's what everybody's angry about.
Right.
Because when I get stagnant, I get angry.
Right.
Whether it's because I'm not moving and doing enough exercise or because I'm not doing something in my life, I get angry, and then it tends to go in wrong places, whether it's inward or outward.
Right.
So, but I think this is a good tool, and I would very highly recommend doing exactly what Phoenix has said. I think that that is a brilliant way to take this as not just a passive tool, but as an active tool.
Right, because we often assume, you know, to go to the binary, which, you know, I hate to do, but it's so everywhere in Wicca, at least, but to take the binary, if we look at this tool is a passive and receptive tool, no. No. And to say it's a feminine tool means it's passive and receptive. No. You know, I'm all about smashing the damn patriarchy right now. No. feminine does not have to be passive. This,
right.
This can be an active tool. It can be a tool of transformation.
Exactly.
A tool of change. Even if you go back to what we were saying before the break with, you know, using the actual tool, the physical pentacle, as a way of charging or clearing objects.
Mm-hmm.
That's not passive.
No.
That's working.
Yes.
You know, the pentacle is a tool of work.
Right.
A tool of shift. A tool of getting things done.
It's just done in a different form than picking up something and utilizing it. Because when we think of tool, we think of the old traditional way of we take this rock and we hit this thing to make that happen as a tool to crack some nut open to get the meat in it. This is more about the energetics of a tool.
Absolutely.
And it's very integrative, and it's high magic, really. I think that without making a statement about a particular belief system, I believe this is one of the higher forms of the magic.
Right. Well, and that's, you know, sometimes I worry because I get on soapboxes so easily. We are both eclectic, right? And my main tradition is the reclaiming tradition, and we are quite an eclectic tradition.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of traditions out there that have very strict structures that do a lot of ceremony and ritual for ceremony and ritual's sake, right? Which is lovely, and I do not mean to make that seem like that's not important work and that that's not good stuff. But for me, the whole point of being a witch, right, is to transform something, to
right.
make something better, and that includes myself,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
What is that saying? Now I'm not going to remember who said it. The art of changing consciousness at will.
Mm-hmm.
That is witchcraft. That is
mm-hmm.
magic. And so, yes, they're doing a ritual, doing a ceremony, having a very solemn ceremony, doing the whole process, and because every ritual we are coming gets together and we do it just like this and we do it just like this and we do it just like this, that absolutely has power.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just doing the surface and you're not going underneath
mm-hmm.
and you're not working with yourself,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter what the ritual is.
Right.
It just becomes lip service after a point.
Right. And in truth, we find it important to live what we
right.
are in every process. And it doesn't mean running around going, I'm a witch. It means sometimes it does. And I used to do that. I used to deliberately use that as a way to shock people. I just look at them and I go, what are you? I'm a witch. And
right.
you could see their eyes kind of go, oh,
right.
you know. But, you know, now I just look at it as, this is who I am. This is, my name is Elvira the Witch. You know, that's just as simple as who it is, because I am that. I live it, I eat it, I breathe it. It's become me. And I think that's the important thing about working with pentacles, working with any of the tools we've discussed. They become you. They are
yeah.
you. And this one more than anything, because of how we embody it in our, you know, just in who we are and where we physically are in this planet.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. It's more, for me, witchcraft, paganism, you know, this is, it's my life. It's not, it's my religion, absolutely. But it's also my way of being in the world. And I really hope that I am improving myself in order to help improve the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that's what it's all about. It's not being an armchair pagan and
mm-hmm.
sitting back and
mm-hmm.
typing things on the Facebook, and you know, I'm doing the things,
right.
I'm participating in the things, and I'm hoping I'm making myself a better person.
Right. And
we all need that.
Yes, we do.
The world really needs it.
And that's the point of, you know, to go full circle to what we started with at the very beginning. What we are is the between the worlds. We are that process, living it moment to moment, carrying that energy, moving that pentacle and its energy through wherever we're at.
Right.
And as much as you want to say it's subversive, we are subversively going around creating sacred spaces and different areas to raise that energy to go to that position. And we know it. We deal with clients. We deal with people that come into locations we either own or we frequent, and we talk to people. We move that energy through what we say, not just because they're looking at some cute little object they want to buy.
Right.
We create an energy flow that shifts,
yeah.
whether it's, as we say, formal or informal.
Right.
And that's the warriorship that we are working.
So Alan says it's time.
Oh.
So... thank you for listening.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. And next week we will have a show all about the element of air.
Air, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific and will be available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website, and that's at www.witchpriestesscauldron.com. Again, that's witchpriestesscauldron.com. On behalf of Elvira, Phoenix, Alan, and myself, Gwion Raven, a big merry meet and merry part and merry meet again. Blessed be.